So, Father, I just come before you once more with a message that I've prayed about and that you've laid on my heart. But, Lord, it is an imperfect work simply because I did it with your help, Lord. And now I ask you to take control, to use me, Lord, as a means of communicating your will and your teaching to those who are listening. So, Lord, I hand this work to you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give me everything that I need to say and take away all the things that you don't want to pass on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start with a reading from Acts 1, verses 4 to 11. 21st of August, 2022. I won't tell you what the title of this message is yet, but it will come in due course. So Acts 1 verses 4 to 11 should be above your head in the NIV version. So on one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, as some of you know, we're going away for a few days soon, and you know what it's like, don't you? People ask, "Where are you going? Are you packed? Are you ready? I bet you're excited, aren't you? Bet you're looking forward to it." Well, to be honest, the last few days, if not weeks, have been hectic. And as well as moving people in and out of properties and having computer and email problems again, I've hardly had a chance to mentally prepare for going on holiday. I'm sure you understand what that's like. However, God has been very gracious to all of us, and I've seen things unfolding with that definite divine touch where things mesh together one after the other in his timing. Just amazing. You couldn't work it out. You couldn't do it yourself. And despite feeling pressurized and under a distinct and rigid timescale, things have rhythmically fallen into place, such that the last thing I had to do was to write a sermon for today and to pack my bags tonight. And what's more, those who know me know that I'm often a bit of a lastminute.com type kind of guy. And so although technically I could have been writing a message for today for days or even weeks, what I tend to do is mull over things and try to formulate a picture of what I need to say, what I feel God wants to say, and what I need to say as when I'm influenced, hopefully, by the Holy Spirit. Now, having said all that, I have to confess two things. Two things. The first thing is, the title that kept running through my head for today's message was, "Are You Ready?" But that felt somehow too familiar to me. And when I looked over past sermon titles, I found that I'd used that before back in on Sunday the 29th of December 2013. And yet it was fresh in my mind. 2013, more than 8 years ago. Where on earth is all that time going? So I decided not to be defeated, to call this message, "Are You Ready Yet?" Are you ready yet? I.e., if we weren't ready then, maybe, hopefully, we're more ready now. Because it's 8 years later. And the other thing, I said there was two things to confess, the other thing I have to admit is that I've been suffering from what musicians call an earworm. An earworm. No, it's not a nasty infection, but rather when a song that keeps on going round and round and round in your head and somehow you just can't switch it off. Linda knows exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe some people don't suffer that, but sometimes when you get a tune in your head, it can be there all day. Now, so I guess you're wondering what that song was. Maybe. Or more accurately, is, as it's still going round and round in my head, even now. And maybe secondly, what we should be ready for. Are you ready yet? Ready for what? Ready for what? Are you ready? Well, here it is. Here's the song. It's a fairly old song now, and it was sung by an American artist called, you ready for this, Heidi? Henry John Deutschendorf Jr. Who was that? John Denver?
Oh, I do know.
John Denver. John Denver. That was his professional name, John Denver. He was an American singer-songwriter, guitarist, actor, activist, and humanitarian whose greatest commercial success was as a solo singer. And the song? I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't, you know, that one. Right, I've given you the tidbit now. You've got the tune, haven't you? How does it go? It goes like this. All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. That was a Yorkshire bit. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. I might get heard and signed up for this. You never know. Somebody might come ringing me when we get back. Is that Rob Brown? Can I sign you up for something? So, I guess some of you of a certain age will have that tune running through your head now all day, like me. Because it's very catchy, isn't it? Very catchy. But you know what? I couldn't understand why that song persistently remained on autoplay in my mind. It just wouldn't go away. I resisted using it today in my message. For one reason, because I couldn't justify being the center of attention in a message just because we are planning to go on holiday on a jet plane. But the more I considered the song and the lyrics, the more I realized that it had prophetic undertones. Prophetic undertones. Yes, it's true. We pack our bags and we get ready, don't we? And we have to get our houses in order. We have to find someone to water the garden, the plants, someone to look after Toffee the dog, make sure work things are up to date and in order. And as far as we are able, try to think of everything or anything that we might otherwise forget before we go. Things that might go wrong while we're away. Things that we just, you know, you just try to think of everything, don't you? You could literally worry yourself to death about what might happen while we're away. What if there's a flood? What if somebody breaks in while we're away? What happens about this? What happens about that? But no matter how hard you try to plan these things, we've had a perfect example of it today. You can never guarantee that unexpected things won't happen. You can't guarantee it. Okay, so we've paid for the holiday. We've booked in online, checked in online. We've got the boarding passes already. We've already got our boarding passes. We've arranged car parking, hire car, organised at destination, booked subaqua diving courses for the young man, packed all the necessary gear for snorkeling, sunbathing, sun cream, foreign money, etc., etc., etc. You know what it's like. But what could we have forgotten? No one knew about the volcanic ash cloud, did they, when we got stuck in Spain? We were coming back from Spain, went to the airport and told you can't get on the plane because of volcanic ash cloud. Yes, you're joking. You mean we can't go home? Yeah, you can't go home. We have a plan to put you somewhere. Where? Not telling you. Couldn't see that coming. We ended up in Benidorm. I thought it was great. Kids, Noel hated it. But we couldn't see that coming. God knew. I think he was trying to test our sense of humour. Didn't like the bit where we had to come back on a bus and it took 36 hours on a bus. On a bus for 36 hours. Couldn't see that coming. All right, in the song, John Denver says, "Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go, etc., etc., etc." And let's face it, we trust, don't we? We trust, but we don't really know. Or even if. More to the point, we don't even know if we will be back again. James 4, 13 to 15. We hear this now and again. Now listen. Listen here. Listen here, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city or country or whatever. Spend a year there, carry on business and make some money. Why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or that. Remain humble. Because you don't know what a day will bring. And it was the same with John Denver, you know. Just like many other people, he never saw this coming. Saw what coming? He had a pilot's license and the money to enjoy it because he was a successful singer-songwriter, etc. So that's what he did. He enjoyed his life. Now, John Denver's flying license had been suspended at the time of his fatal plane crash because of two earlier drunk driving charges. Earlier on that fateful day, his golfing buddies tried to coax him into another round of golf. Quote, "They finished playing and were at the clubhouse debating it," said Dale Taylor, assistant pro at the Spyglass Hill golf course. And John Denver replied, "I'd love to play, but I got a new plane. I'm going to practice my landings and takeoffs." This is on a Sunday. The day he died was a Sunday. After he had practiced his landings and takeoffs, he then told air traffic control that he would fly around for another hour. for fun. His Long Easy aircraft, which is only a small thing, crashed while he was trying to switch over the fuel tanks. Presumably run out of the first fuel tanks to switch on to the second one, so it probably ran out of fuel. And they don't glide. They don't glide. And the way I got I'm interested in this because my two elder sons and myself have both flown in a Long Easy aircraft at Boscombe Down, RAF Boscombe Down, not knowing at the time that they do not have a good safety record because they're not aerodynamic. In other words, you switch the power off, they go down, and you lay back like an F-16 with a joystick. So no power, doesn't fly. It's a bit like that, even though it is a propeller. And they are prone to pilot error. So in other words, they're not very forgiving. Like a Cessna, you take your hands off, it'll fly. Not the same with a Long Ease. This is all very interesting, or depressing, you might say. But why did you bring this message today, Rob? Well, this, I believe, is why. Because I was fighting with this, because I think this is just made up, Rob. You're just playing with this. This is just fun. I was walking Toffee early the other morning, a day or two ago, and all of a sudden it came to me that although there is a message about not knowing when or if I'll be back again, oh babe, I hate to go, etc., in relation to us going away, I began to see it from a completely different angle. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, it's true, even today sometimes, but Jesus didn't know everything either about the future. He told us many things to look out for, signs in the heavens and in the earth, but some things remain unknown. Now, as Jesus left the Mount of Olives, as we read in the first scripture, probably not on a jet plane, he could have said something like this, couldn't he? So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Because I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babes, I hate to go. And all of a sudden it hit me that it must have been like that. I don't want to leave my friends, my disciples, but I've got to go. I've got to go. Or is that just my vivid and overactive imagination going on there? I'd like to think that Jesus didn't want to leave his disciples. They were his friends. He spent 3 years with them. He knew them inside out. But unless he did, he couldn't send the Holy Spirit. He said that himself. He could not send the Holy Spirit. And the Great Commission that we have taken on board couldn't be fulfilled. John 14, 15 to 18. Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. Another counselor to be with you forever. Now that is definitely good news, isn't it? We all need good counsel. Jesus still didn't know when he would return physically to the earth. Even though we are told where geographically he will return and in what manner, we just don't know when. So we need to be ready all the time. All the time, alert and watching the signs in the heavens and the earth. Because if we do, we won't be caught unawares. Turn to Mark 13, 28 to 37. Now, Jesus said, learn this lesson from the fig tree. And they've just come ripe, haven't they, the figs? As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. And even so, when you see these things happening in the earth, you know that it is near. It is right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation or race will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, not even Jesus, but only the Father. So be on guard, be alert and pray. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with this assigned task, with his own assigned task, sorry, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. And if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, not just the disciples, watch, watch. You do not know when the owner of the house will come back. So I ask you this question. Who is the owner of your house? Who is the owner of your house? Maybe it's the local council. Maybe it's the local housing association. Maybe a mortgage company. Or maybe you own it outright. But who owns you? Who owns you? Who do you belong to? Now, when John Denver went flying that Sunday, did he have any idea that that would be his last day? Did he realize the significance of the words of that beautiful song that he'd written and sung? Denver wrote that song in 1967 during a stopover at Washington Airport. Now, this is what he said, apparently, when asked why he wrote those words. And he said this. He wrote it, quote, not so much from feeling that way for someone, but from the longing of having someone to love. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Not so much from feeling that way for or towards someone, but because of the longing of having the need of someone to love. That's heartbreaking. I felt really sad when I came across that. But that in itself makes you feel sorry for him, but that in itself won't get him saved. Pity, remorse, sadness is not the same thing as salvation. That is quite a sad thing, isn't it? To admit that you long to have someone to love. But you know what? It's absolutely true for the majority of people who live on earth. Many people sat here today or listening to this message somewhere else will identify with John Denver when he said that. Now, if John Denver belonged to Jesus, he had nothing to worry about, did he? Even if he wasn't in church on Sunday, he still had nothing to worry about. When he went flying, and it's the same for us, we don't know what a day may bring. But if we have the Holy Spirit in us and alongside us, there is nothing more to worry about. But if we don't have that assurance, Then what? Then what? So back to the title. Are you ready yet? I'm not talking about whether you've packed your bags and you're ready to go on holiday. You won't be taking any bags with you if tomorrow is your last day on earth. So are you ready? Is there anything you haven't done yet? Maybe you believe. Maybe you're trying to repent. Maybe you're thinking about being baptized. Maybe there's all sorts of things going on in the back of your head and you just need the Holy Spirit to prod you one more time to make a decision today. One more time. I don't know what it is, but I tell you, he does. He knows exactly what it is. Is there anything you haven't done yet? Are you ready yet? Matthew 24:42-44. Jesus again. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, wouldn't he? And would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready. You must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. Always expect the unexpected. He will come at an hour when you do not expect him. You can watch the things in the earth and in the heavens and the earth and the news and what's happening in Israel and Russia and Egypt and Iran and that, and you'll know the season that we're in, but you'll never know the hour. Because you're told you'll never know the hour. So ask God whether you're safe to travel. Ask God where your final destination is going to be. And if you're not sure, you really need to treat this very seriously. Because there is no greater decision you will ever make in all your days on earth than to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You think you might have done it? You better make sure. If there's things undone in your life, you're running out of time. We all are. There's a few words in this song that I think made me turn it around to a song coming from Jesus rather than our song to someone else. And it's these words. Part of the song includes the words, "Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. And when I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring." Now, if you are part of Jesus' church, then you are a bride in waiting for the groom. And he, Jesus, is the groom. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for the Father's instruction to come and get you and me, coming back to snatch his bride away from this world and take her unto himself. Because he loves you and me with an undying love. An undying love. The very kind of love that most people desire and yearn for. Male or female. You can be his bride-to-be. And the kind of love he has for you, it's not a sexual kind of love or just an emotional lovey-dovey kind of love. It's pure and it's unadulterated and it is sacrificial. The kind that drove him to give everything he had to buy you, to set you free from sin and death and separation from him. So, are you ready yet? Do you remember the scripture from Acts 1? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back. He will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. But you know what? I don't believe he's coming alone. I think he's coming with his chosen bride. with him, those who belonged to him, who were faithful to him, and those he took out of this fallen world. So are we ready? No one can prepare for the unexpected, but we can all make sure that the Holy Spirit is honoured by reacting to him sooner rather than later. Father, I leave this message in your hands to get it into the hearts of those who need to hear it. And I pray, Lord, that everyone will be blessed by you, because, Lord, we don't want to be found sleeping. And when you return, we want to be delighted that the very thing, the very person that we've been waiting for all our life is not just our friend, our saviour, our Lord, but also the one who's going to take care of us for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.